Apple's dog food stalls with the beefcake pantyhose. Kill the headlights and put it in neutral. Stock car flaming with a loser in the cruise control. Babies in Reno with the vitamin D. Got a couple of couches, sleep on the love seat. Someone came seeing, I'm insane to complain about a shotgun wedding and a stain on my shirt.
It's especially designed to address the issues of men and women who've recently been released from incarceration. We have a great show for you today. On the program is the psychic attorney, Mr. Mark Anthony. Now, we're going to have some fun with Mark, but he's also got some very serious things to say to ex-offenders about unresolved issues and how that affects your behavior. All that coming up and more right after this on Journey of Hope. Next week, we have the unstoppable Frankie Picasso. And in the following week, we have Eileen Dillon, both with excellent advice for ex-offenders. You want to be sure and stay tuned for both of those interviews. All those coming up in the next couple of weeks right here on the Journey of Hope.
If I leave here tomorrow, would you still remember me?
And welcome back to the Journey of Hope. I have on the phone with me Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer. Now, Mark is a psychic medium who specializes in communication with spirits. He's descended from a long line of psychics and mediums that have been helping people with their abilities for over 100 years. And Mr. Anthony is also a successful attorney and a certified mediator. He's licensed to practice law in Florida, Washington, D.C., and before the United States Supreme Court. He earned his law degree from Mercer and has studied at Oxford. He has a book coming out soon that's called Let Go of Sorrow, Hold On to Love. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rodney. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure. Okay, now, Mark, I've got some things I want to talk to you a little bit later about how a psychic or a medium can help people, but I've got some questions I want to get out of the way first, just kind of out of curiosity. Is that okay if we do that?
Absolutely.
Okay. A psychic lawyer. How did that happen?
It's funny that you should ask. Well, as you indicated when you introduced me, I'm descended from a long line of people who have abilities to forecast the future and to communicate with spirits. And I just grew up in that type of environment. And then when I went to college, I decided I wanted to go into law. So, you know, being a psychic and a medium has always been there, but being an attorney is the way I chose to make a living.
So do those two things conflict with each other, or how do you handle the very different professions?
Both jobs are about helping people, and both jobs are about evidence. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is, as a lawyer, I help people with their legal problems and to get through very, very difficult times in their life, whether it's a catastrophic injury or whether it is getting arrested and charged with a crime. As a medium, I help people cope with the passing of a loved one by establishing communication with the spirit of that loved one. Then both jobs are about evidence, because as an attorney, it is my job to present evidence to a judge and to a jury. However, as a medium, I practice what's known as evidential mediumship, which means I have to present evidence, which is given to me by a spirit, to the recipient of the message.
Okay. Well, do you ever use your psychic ability in your law practice?
Pretty much every day. And it's funny, because people that know that I'm psychic, like I was having lunch with a friend of mine who's an attorney last week, and he goes, "Are you reading me? What are you doing?" And I said, "No, Steve, I was just sort of daydreaming," and I wasn't. And it's funny, but I do use my abilities all the time, in particularly in jury selection, and when people come to see me with various issues, and sometimes they need someone to talk and someone that can give them a perspective on things that they may not have received or arrived at on their own.
My wife was telling me, she's been following you on Facebook. You got quite a following out there, and you're considered an expert in the paranormal. What is it that makes you an expert?
Well, I see dead people. I don't mean to, but I was born with the ability to communicate and perceive spirits. Not only was I born with that ability, I have taken my logical, left-brained lawyer's mind, if you will, and applied that to my mediumship. So I have studied not only here in the U.S., but also in Britain at a specialized college where they teach mediumship and psychic development. So I've been exposed to and studied all types of things from spirit contact to predicting the future to doing medical intuitive readings and to what's known as channeling. I don't necessarily practice those other areas. My focus is on spirit communication. But I've been called in to deal with hauntings and other strange and unexplained phenomena. So it's the type of thing that, yes, you get your school study, but also you need the practical hands-on work as well.
Well, are you, I'm a little confused here, are you a psychic or a medium? Is there a difference?
That's an excellent question, Rodney. Here's how I sum it up. If you want to know what's going on with your love life or your career, see a psychic. If you want to talk to dead people, see a medium.
Okay.
Now, every medium is a psychic, or rather, every medium has psychic ability, but not every psychic has mediumistic ability. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, psychics and mediums use the same type of sensitivity to frequency. It's just that we tune into different stations. So I do get premonitions of future events. I am able to read energy of people and tell them what's going on in their love life and potential career opportunities and things like that. But my main strength is communicating with spirits.
You mentioned that you do use this ability in your law practice, and you know, keep it in mind, the audience on this podcast, I'm assuming you're a criminal defense attorney. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. What
about victims of crimes? Have you ever done readings for them?
Yes. Probably hundreds of times, and it brings a lot of closure. And it brings a lot of resolution to families of victims and also people who may not have been murdered. In other words, people that are still physically alive. It helps them to understand things that have happened in their lives as well. And on the flip side of the coin, I've done a lot of readings for people who are accused of crimes or maybe not necessarily are criminals so much as drug addicts and alcoholics that have unresolved death issues.
We're gonna get to that in a second.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about that in a minute, but I'm still curious about the process here. I mean, is it scary seeing spirits? Is that a spooky thing? Or explain that to me.
A lot of these movies that come out, I know the most recent movie with Matt Damon. I think they call it Hereafter, and The Sixth Sense, and you know, there's a lot of Hollywood likes to make it scary because scary sells. But for me, it is uplifting, it's beautiful, it's a gift from God, and I find it very enlightening, and it brings me a tremendous amount of joy and happiness. So for me, spirit contact is not frightening at all.
Mm-hmm. And when you say you see spirits, how do you see them? Are they standing around drinking a beer? I mean, what does it look
sometimes.
Like? Oh, really?
Well, for example, if a spirit comes through, and that particular person was an alcoholic or had a proclivity to drink a particular thing, mm-hmm. They will oftentimes show that to me. And I'll get a sense for, okay, maybe this person had addiction problems. It's interesting because I was doing a reading for somebody, and I said, you know, I feel Jack Daniels. I feel the word Jack Daniels. And the woman said, that's interesting because that's what he was drinking when he died.
Wow.
And so they will portray that. And spirits will come, they will connect and look very much like they did prior to when they passed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that. That's because we can identify them. So in other words, if I was doing a reading for you and your grandmother comes through and she shows up looking like she was 16 years old, chances are you never knew your grandmother when she was 16, so you'd be like, I don't know who that is. But if you get an old lady knitting and she baked you a special type of pumpkin pasty or whatever and starts giving me information like that, then you can identify her. So they will come through looking in a manner that we can identify them.
Mm-hmm. I've always heard that, tell me if I'm wrong, I'm a huge fan of Coast to Coast, and I listen to it all the time, and one of the things I've learned on there is when people say that they've seen a spirit, they always see it in the clothes in which they died in. Is that how you see them?
Many times. For example, if a spirit comes through wearing, like, pajamas or a bathrobe, to me that normally indicates they were bedridden and they had a long, slow decline. Mm-hmm. And that's a way that they know that I will recognize that fact. I've seen a number of spirits actually appear in the clothes that they were actually buried in.
Mm-hmm.
So they do that, once again, as a form of presenting evidence that we can identify who that person is.
Mm-hmm. And when they talk to you, what is it like? I mean, is it like we're having a conversation now, or is it just something you sense inside your head, or how does that work?
Kind of all of the above. I see them. They present me with symbols. I feel thoughts, and I hear thoughts. Normally, I hear them as if I hear the voice in my head. It's I hear them in the form of thoughts. Sometimes I will hear them in the voice that they spoke in. That does occasionally happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be very, very sensitive and open to these different sensations. And when you start working with them, you'll begin to see what the communication is. So it's seeing, feeling, and hearing.
Mm-hmm. I remember in the movie Ghost that it looked like the bad guys went to hell. Is it dangerous to make contact with spirits? Are there do people go to hell? And are there evil spirits?
Well, jerks die all the time.
I mean, know,
Adolf Hitler died. Hopefully, Osama bin Laden will die soon. You know, people like that die and they go to the other side. Now, I don't believe in hell, and I was raised as a Catholic, so I'm supposed to believe in hell,
mm-hmm.
but the way I work with this, there appears to be levels to the other side, and even though, let's say you're a really horrible, evil person, when you cross over, you don't necessarily go into a really beautiful, wonderful realm. You may go into an absence of the light, but you do not remain there forever. You have free will over there, and you can work yourself out of it, but that doesn't mean that you get a free pass for the evil that you do in this world.
You bring up a good point here, and I was looking at your website, and I noticed that you have prayers, like a prayer from St. Francis of Assisi. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, do Christianity and what you do, I mean, are they juxtaposed, or do they coexist together? What would you say about that?
It depends on who you talk to, and it depends on which part of the Bible that you read.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fundamentalists that think that what I do is wrong, and they have no bones about sending me hate mail about that. But I've also had born-again Christians come to me for readings, and if you the way I look at my ability is the gift of discernment. So when you describe it as the gift of discernment, then it has a positive connotation. If you talk about it as mediumship or necromancy, which is communicating with the dead, then it has a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. And I don't criticize anybody's religion. If all roads lead to Rome, then all religions can lead to God.
You've obviously helped a lot of people, and like I was telling you earlier, you've got a huge following out there, and you've helped a lot of people. You talk about, and I want to switch gears here a little bit along those lines, how paranormal experiences help everyday people. You've talked a lot about using the paranormal to improve the quality of people's lives. What do you mean by that?
What spirit contact, paranormal activity can, how it helps people is that it proves that our soul is everlasting. In other words, that when we physically die, that is not the end. And so that someone that you love, someone that you cherished, someone that meant so much to you, did not disintegrate when they physically expired, but that their memories, likes, dislike, personality, their soul lives on eternally. Mm-hmm. I myself and countless other people around the world find that extremely comforting to know that.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. What about using psychic ability in our daily lives? How does that help us?
We do. We do. Women have women's intuition. I mean, every man that I know, myself included, is connected to women either through marriage or friendship or family that have women's intuition. And on one hand, we scoff at it, and at the other hand, we take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Men, we call either a gut feeling or instinct. I guess because it sounds more manly. You know, it's like Harrison mm-hmm. Ford. He has mm-hmm. gut feeling. Samuel L. Jackson, he's got instinct, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, we're receiving vibrational energy, and it's information. And so if you're going to go into a business situation, all of a sudden you get this feeling in the pit of your stomach, and you don't know why, and it's not nerves. It's like, this is not a good deal. Even though on the surface it looks like it is, then you find out later it's a disaster. Now, how did you know that on an emotional level? And that's psychic ability. And so we experience it on a daily basis. It's just mm-hmm. that we've come up with nice, safe labels like women's intuition, a man's gut feeling mm-hmm. to explain and to rationalize that. But when you look at it from an evidentiary standpoint and from a scientific standpoint, the way I do, mm-hmm. then what that is a manifestation of our psychic ability. You know, we have five physical senses, sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch, mm-hmm. but we have the sixth sense, which is this ability to perceive things beyond our physical senses.
Mm-hmm. And we've all had those moments where, I don't know, maybe we've been thinking about somebody and then the phone rings and it's them. I think that's happened to all of us.
How do we explain that? Oh, just a coincidence. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that you haven't heard from in 5 years, and you're thinking, no, I haven't heard from Tom Smith in 5 years. The phone rings and, Tom? So
that's right.
That's just a coincidence, or is our energy field picking up on a vibrational energy that is around us, and we're taking that and translating it into information we can recognize? We're all energy. We're all interconnected.
Well, how can we use that sense on a daily basis to our advantage?
One of the things we have to do, and I'm going to speak to men primarily, because women have a tendency to trust their feelings. And as men, we need to learn to trust our feelings as well. As men, we're socialized not to.
Mm-hmm.
We are trained from an early age that if you fall down on the playground and it hurts real bad, you don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you suppress that. And what men have to learn to do is that if you want to develop your instinct and your psychic abilities, you have to trust your feelings. Now, that's not to say that, and we have to be careful about not looking at somebody. Let's say somebody comes to you and they're of a different ethnic background and you're letting prejudice get in the way. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a feeling that isn't based on a preconceived notion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can a medium such as yourself help, say, a drug addict or an alcoholic?
In my practice as a criminal defense attorney, I've dealt with thousands of drug addicts, alcoholics, and criminals. And I have found probably in 80% of the time that the reason that they have these issues is because at some point in life, in their developmental stages, or even not that long ago, there's the death of a significant person in their life, mm-hmm. and that death has never been coped with or dealt with properly. I had a young man come see me, and I noticed that he had no criminal record until he was like 23 years old, and when he came to see me, he was 25, and I got the feeling of that his mother's mother spirit was around him, and I said, "Did your mother die?" And all of a sudden, he burst into tears, and he goes, "Yes." And I go, "When?" And he goes, "Right after I turned 23." And it's like bingo. And right after that, he got busted for possession of marijuana, and then he got arrested for drunk driving, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I just can't cope with it, so I just started partying really heavily, thinking that would numb the pain and make it go away." So what I have seen in my practice, and that's just one, I could go on with examples of this for, you know, for hours, mm-hmm. that we need to learn in our society, and we need to learn how to grieve and how to cope with this. And self-medicating through alcohol and illegal drugs is, or impulsive acting out behaviors, mm-hmm. is not how to deal with this.
Well, you're right on target, and we talk all the time here on the show about how these unresolved issues can lead to these acting out kinds of behaviors. And I never thought of, you know, the death of a loved one as being something that would be an unresolved issue, but you're right on target. That's very interesting, Mark.
Well, think about it. Let's say you're a 12 or 13-year-old boy and your father dies. Mm-hmm. And you're in an unstable home life anyway. And maybe your father used to drink, and maybe he was abusive. And, you know, children love abusive parents because it is in a child's nature to love, especially to love mommy and daddy. Mm-hmm. And mommy and daddy aren't always perfect cookie-cutter people like we saw on TV when we were growing up. And now, so your father dies, you're 13 years old, and you're told, don't think about it, don't worry about it, put it out of your mind. It's not like when you suppress grief, it's going to go away. So there's this depression, there's this imbalance in your emotional makeup, and you begin to look toward two things that make you feel better. So you think, okay, maybe if I smoke some weed, that'll make me feel better. Maybe if I take a couple shots of bourbon, that'll make me feel better. Maybe if I freebase, that will make me feel better. And sometimes it's not always drugs. Sometimes I get a high off of stealing things. Mm-hmm. Or, on the other hand, there's anger. And anger leads to hatred, which leads to rage. And so then you start turning into a bully, or to somebody that if somebody looks at you wrong or says something that just irritates you, you break out into violent behavior. And a lot of this can be traced back to unresolved issues with the death of a loved one.
Wow. I want to switch gears here just a little bit and talk a little bit about your book. I understand that Let Go of Sorrow, Hold On to Love is coming out soon?
It looks like it's coming out towards the end of 2011. And the latest word from the publisher, they may change the title, but, you know, we're working on that. But that's the theme of the book, is learning to let go of the sorrow with the death, but to hold on to the love that you had for the person who died.
Do you write about some of the readings that you've conducted in your book?
Oh, absolutely. Because I think it's one thing to say, to make a point about unresolved grief issues, but I think it hits home when I can give an illustration. And in my career as a medium, I've conducted, well over 1,000 readings. And so what I did is I went through about a 5-year time period, and I selected ones that I felt made poignant points for the illustrations that I was looking for.
How can we find out more about your book and where to get it when it comes out, that sort of thing?
To keep updated on that, either through Facebook or on my webpage, and you can friend me on Facebook. My website is healgriefwithbelief.com, and that's Heal Grief with Belief. Or if you want an easier website to remember, it's thepsychiclawyer.com, and both go to the same site.
And we will definitely put links up for you, Mark, next to the podcast. I really appreciate you being here today. This has been very interesting. Mark's book, Let Go of Sorrow, Hold On to Love. I hope they're going to stick with that title. It's an excellent title. That's going to be coming out soon. And I recommend it for the ex-offenders that are listening to the show. I think it's something that could help you. My name's Rodney Mathers. Mark, thank you for being here. We'll be right back after this.
Thank you, Rodney.
See you next time.